Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rise and shine, fever dreamers. Look alive. I'm Bea Spear.
And I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is American Fever Dream, a new podcast presented by Betches News,
where we keep you responsibly informed without depleting your faith in humanity. And today we are joined by a very special guest, a friend of the pod, friend of Betches News, and my co-author as of this July, Emily Amick, aka Emily in Your Phone. Welcome, Emily.
So happy to be here.
Welcome back. I have been thinking about your piece on Kate Middleton for few days now, and V is very invested in the where's Kate of it all. Apparently she might be at a farm in Windsor. We'll see. Maybe.
Do we believe the photos?
No.
Well, the photos don't even believe the photos. So it's like, you know, I don't know. Emily, do you believe the photos?
Yeah, I believe the photos. I think that it would be wild and crazy times. Obviously, it's the British monarchy, so who knows? But I think it would be wild for them to release photos of a body double. I've also seen photos of the supposed body double, and it doesn't look like her. And I think that there's all this, you know, I use TikTok just like everybody else, and I immediately get pulled into the conspiracy talk. And there's like all this stuff about the walk and the gait. To me, she seems, if there's a gait difference, that's copacetic with this idea that she had surgery.
I totally agree with you. First of all, I'm talking about the video, that which is where you saw the photos based off of.
Yes.
My feeling was that the video was just odd and uncanny, and they could save themselves from all of this by just doing a standard royal walkabout the way they normally do, where multiple people are filming and like you really can't fake it. My feeling is more about like the weirdness around the whole way they handle it. And so that makes me just feel like, why can't they just be normal? And then my ultimate reaction to that is like, obviously there's a reason they can't be normal. But I don't know. Are you guys royal watchers like normally?
I am not, but much like the television shows that my wife watches that I insist that I don't like, if they're on, I'm going to like stand in the kitchen and watch them. And so I feel like I've been standing in the kitchen watching the Kate Middleton stuff go on, because I didn't know that she was typically like out and about that much. I mean, I've seen her photographed at like events, but she's not like an everyday celebrity to me where I would think that people would notice that she was this absent.
But for social media, I would know nothing about what the royals are up to. But I think because I'm on the interwebs, I'm constantly shown their stuff. I follow Elizabeth Holmes on Instagram because I like her. And then now I've had to watch royal content for 2 years. And so I like to say to myself and to others that I do not care about what they are up to. But I think the fact that I know so much is somewhat revealing.
I like the conspiracies. I like the ones that are like, oh, she got bad bangs or the BBL or like, I don't know. I think that's fun. I know conspiracy has its place and it can eventually make you believe other more dangerous conspiracies. But yeah, the dehumanization of Kate Middleton through her missing is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I am a royal watcher, not like 100% of the time, but I feel that I have a strong familiarity with the way that they move. Mm. And so a lot of this for me is just a pattern recognition issue of like, this is out of the pattern. To be fair, the Queen did just pass away fairly recently. So now they're having maybe their first big thing that they need to handle in the absence of competent upper management and that it sort of gave them a cover. But so that's the only thing that I'm like, okay, maybe they're just fucking up now that they don't have like their North Star. But take that out of the equation. I'm like, this is just so weird. It's just, there's so many pieces of it that are out of step with their normal patterns. And here's the thing. I hate that there needs to be a word for conspiracy that has not been like ruined yet, because there is a real such thing as like a criminal conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And I feel that like the concept of a conspiracy has been weaponized to essentially make people who are asking legitimate questions about really questionable things seem crazy and like mm-hmm. tinfoil hatty, when mm-hmm. in reality, there actually is a little bit less honesty on the part of institutions. And so people are just clocking that. And the more you tell them, oh, you're crazy, you're just like pulling red strings, it's almost like you just make them see, you make them think, oh, it's actually worse than it really is.
I just can't believe these people colonized the world at one time. Like, they can't even get like a photoshopped picture done properly, and yet the empire has reigned. Like, I don't know, Emily, you're the one who wrote about it. You're the expert. Tell us what you know.
One of the things I wrote about was the fact that actually the photo manipulation and the lack of transparency is in a way promoting this post-truth culture that we exist in, right? And they are perpetuating the conduct which they claim to not want to have happen by being this way. And I think it's bad. And I think that the problem with the conspiracies, right? Like, I also laughed at the she's growing out bangs joke. Like, that's funny. The problem with the conspiracies isn't the beginning part. It's not the asking legitimate questions. It's, of course, how far it gets taken. And the infrastructure of especially TikTok incentivizes people. I mean, there's an account that's just constantly posting about this, and they've grown 250,000 followers mm-hmm. over the course of this cycle. You know, I've seen tons and tons of breaking news, Charles died, breaking news, Kate has died, right? You know, it's completely manufactured from whole cloth. And the problem is this is creating this infrastructure of lack of authenticity, but also sort of lack of expertise and lack of ability to have any faith in information that's proffered online, which is fundamentally ripping away the fabric of our society. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just asking questions is in and of itself a loaded term, right? And,
right.
And it's very, very hard. I'll say, I agree. I think that the royal family PR machine is acting horribly. I always am sort of the opposite of everyone else. I always think the simplest answer is probably the most logical one. Having worked in government myself, I almost always attribute it to incompetence. And my guess is that, like, now that the queen is dead, Kate was like, great, I can actually recover from surgery and not participate, and she's not going to get mad at me. Charles won't make me do anything. And she wanted to take some time off. And they're just trying to not do it. They're trying to, like any good bureaucrat, they're just trying to work as little as possible. And I do not know why she will not just do a sit down. That is the most perplexing factor here. And they've extended the Easter deadline a little bit more. And that's perplexing to me. I think I was hoping that after Easter, this would just be done and we wouldn't have to have the conversation anymore. I think TikTok is also, they ran through the conspiracies a little too quickly and they're starting to peter out. People aren't interested anymore. It's just like, when is the next conspiracy going to hit?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What you're saying is such like a true point. Like, most of the time it is just like random circumstances, incompetence. I think maybe because it's not just her health issues that she's dealing with, but there are things that that couple has tried to hide about. Mm-hmm. So now it's like people are projecting like any problem they've ever had in their relationship, rumors that might also be adjacent but not related, or they're sort of, you know, related, but they're not the cause of this PR screw up. It's hard for people to like to get it. And Emily, there was a phrase that you used in your piece, specter of impropriety, which is just this like pall that gets put over things, where it's like things don't totally line up into how individuals would like logically look at something. And even if there is no technical malfeasance, it's the incompetence and the inherent unfairness that gets sort of like, it turns into the conspiracy.
Specter of impropriety is such an effective political tool in this day and age. I mean, Kellyanne Conway's alternative facts sort of set the stage for the new conservative PR regime, which is just asking questions, just asking, did Joe Biden engage in inappropriate things in Ukraine? And if you say that over and over and over again, people start to believe it's true. If you engage in investigations over and over and over again, even when you never reach a conclusion. I mean, the fact is, right, we've learned now years later that the alleged whistleblower in all of that was literally receiving news from Russia and reporting it to the FBI, and the intelligence was not so intelligent. But it doesn't matter, because what's done has been done, and the specter of impropriety, this cloud of distrust has been built around Joe Biden for the community who was receiving that information. And, you know, the specter of impropriety around the British monarchy is well-deserved, right? Like, that's not a fabrication. I am personally an anti-monarchist. And fundamentally, at the end of the day, for all of this, I just think these are all great arguments for dismantling the monarchy. And I hope that Charlotte is our final queen.
I always say that. I'm like, Charlotte is more cut out for this than the boys. No offense, boys. They've been through enough.
I think Kate either is very sick and something is wrong, right? Or she has a level of discipline that I aspire to not respond to haters and trolls. Because the amount of pressure on her right now, I would crack. I'd be like, bring in the cameras, bring in the glam tam. I'm putting in, photograph me in my bed, bring my children around me. Like, I can't handle this. Like, just feed the beast. Like, just feed them what they want so that they leave me alone. And she pretty much is like, nah. Get out there and conspiratize. I don't care. I'm the friggin' future queen of England. We're living our lives.
But she could also just not be on TikTok, and the people, and she could, and the people around her could not be showing her the newspapers, right? She could have built this bubble. I think these people are so profoundly out of touch. Who knows what she knows? I mean, there's also this, she's clearly a woman who has internalized intense pressure about societal beauty standards, right? And that could outweigh her feelings of needs to show up. I just think there's, which is another sort of factor that has really unfortunately melded into the conspiracy conversations, right? Like all this speculation about her body and her health, it's going to some grotesque places. But I agree with you guys. Like, why can't she just do a sit down interview or post a face to camera like a normal person? But fundamentally a problem here, she's not a normal person. She's a weirdo royal.
I'm also concerned about some of the conspiracies, like we talked about earlier, people projecting their own drama onto this situation. I would not be able to handle the Williams cheating. Like, is she sick or whatever's going on with her? And then on top of it, they're like putting forth this full story about him and some other woman who is like a less hot version of her cheating. And I'm like, that would take me out of hiding. I'd be like, you better keep William's name out of your mouth. But that's why I'm not royal.
Well, here's the thing. Like, this is another piece of it going back to them being royal weirdos, is like William having a mistress and this rumor has been going around for like 6 years now, 5 years or something. It's like an old rumor, and I've heard it places that are not the internet. Like, so we're talking about something that has a fairly high probability that it really is happening. And whether or not that's related or related to her reaction, like, I agree with you. Like, that to me is the toughest, especially if she's going through both. But there is, I really see there being like two levels to this. And Emily, you said this earlier, like there's the harmless part of it that goes to, then it goes to like, you know, a more dangerous place. Like one of the articles that you linked had in your, your Substack had a comment from The Atlantic. Basically, it was talking about how like Taylor Swift and, you know, has her Easter egging has sort of like turned these issues or these stories into like a what they call a massive multiplayer online role-playing game. And like that's how I feel when I'm looking for Taylor Swift Easter eggs in her lyrics and like looking at like what matches, like this, like it's a miss, it's a puzzle to solve. And I think that's what's really getting people excited on the consumer side is like, oh, I can solve this puzzle. But what they're not seeing is the distinction between, I think you also put, maybe I wrote this or maybe it was somewhere, just I put it in my notes, like malevolence versus messiness. Like a lot of this could just be messiness, mistakes. Maybe there is a little malevolence, but not to the level that they are projecting onto it. But then you have like real conspiracies that then weaponize the lack of trust. And like, for example, this Joe Biden Ukraine thing, where it's like you're taking advantage of people's inherent distrust and what used to be like a fun game for them, and you're turning it into something of real significant consequence that's actually very false.
You know, there's always lots of conversations about what is the start of our current public discourse failure. And a lot of people are always want to put the blame on Rupert Murdoch and Fox News in the 90s. But I think that we should blame the History Channel and all those fucking alien documentaries.
That's what Chuck Grassley thinks. He tweets about that all the time.
Me and Chuck Grassley. There's an unlikely pairing. Yeah. So I think that... people love a murder, a white lady murdered podcast, right? That's our number one type of podcast we like to consume as a society. People love unraveling a mystery. I myself am partial to an Agatha Christie book. I like to keep it cozy and British, but, or Agatha Raisin for, my cozy British mystery followers. But you know, I think that the problem is the people who want views and clicks and attention and money and to manipulate people for malevolent means have realized this. And the infrastructure of social media is extremely good. And TikTok in particular is extremely good at whipping people into a frenzy over things. And they are having fun. I mean, they are gleeful. The posts that I see talking about Kate Middleton are gleeful. And I think part of the reason they are so gleeful is because they're excited to talk shit about people who they don't like and people who they think deserve it.
Is there any way we can blame this on Taylor Swift? I mean, because is this just all leading up to another album announcement? I feel like I have been trained by Taylor Swift to expect hints and clues all over the place. What if this is all just part of the tortured poets department launch?
Has Kate Middleton changed her profile photo to be a black and white photo?
I hope that she has. And, you know, she's going to kick off the concert in England or something. I think, this is peak girl fun for me.
It is. And that's the thing is like, it is a shame if there's really something terrible happening, because I think a lot of people are trying to have fun with it. Like Emily, you mentioned an account that grew like 250,000 followers. If we're thinking of the same account, Pop Apologists, like they seem like they're having fun with this more than they're concerned for Kate Middleton's health and safety. And hopefully that's okay, because there's nothing actually wrong with her health and safety that isn't being managed.
I mean, look, I'm the queen of no fun. And I know this about myself. There is a reason I don't get invited to any parties.
She's embroidering for fun.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason my Friday nights are spent needlepointing. What I'll say is I think a good example of where conspiratization takes us is the Instagram account /Substack account of House and Habit, right? Who built this audience perpetuating the patriarchy, right? When she covered these big cases, she took the side of Johnny Depp for Andrew. Whatever her name is.
Amber Heard.
Amber Heard. And I was thinking of the word Andrew because of other issues with an Andrew related to this topic.
Talk about that next.
You know, all these different things. And she's built this fun, people love the conspiracy. They love the way she tells the story. She's a very, very good storyteller. What is she doing now? She's the de facto social media director for RFK Jr. What is she doing next? She's in deep meetings with Trump and MAGA. She's gone to Mar-a-Lago. She's starting to post more and more content promoting MAGA and Trump, right? So she built this audience and she has trained them to consume information in a particular type of way. And she's using that to really, really push, especially when we're talking about sort of medical misinformation, and they have a whole different terminology they use to refer to all of the RFK Jr. anti-vax stuff. But, you know, she's built this audience and then is pointing that arrow towards politics. And I think fundamentally, when I am Debbie Downer, it's because that's where I see all of this going, right? We are training people to not believe in truth, to believe that everything is just a game. And the reality is, when we elect politicians, it's all fun. You know, a lot of people supported Trump because they thought it was fun. Because I thought it'd be like fun in 2016. It would be fun to blow it all up, right? And like, it makes the TV show great. But the problem is people's lives are impacted by those decisions. And it's not so fun. And that's really what gets me, that's what makes me concerned about all of this.
Yeah. Like, where do you see that ultimately landing? What's the ultimate consequence of that?
Oh, would you probably say? Jeff Bezos running America as a corporation.
Okay. Right. Sounds good.
I am still shocked by the RFK thing because I did an interview on like the TikTok ban, and they were like, what do you actually think is most dangerous about TikTok? I was like, RFK Jr.'s content is like popping off right now. He's gotten 1 million followers. And just since the ban was proposed, he's got 12 million views in the last 3 days. A lot of his content is incredibly addictive. It makes him look young and smart and right in touch with things. This is not an endorsement of him, but his content is the best political content that we're seeing on the app right now. Whether any of it is true or not, it is structured in a way that is culturally TikTok. It hits the For You page. And to find out that she is involved in that is made me speechless for a full minute.
Yeah,
there.
Well, get excited because that's my next Substack. So follow along for all information on House and Habit. Subscribe.
So V, do you support the TikTok ban in that case?
No, ma'am. No, I don't.
I'm fucking with you.
I know people deserve to view propaganda. You look at my office. Okay, I love propaganda. I think it's a fun thing to study, to learn from, and to sort of like express yourself and work out some of the deep, ugly feelings I have about America through propaganda. But you got to watch out. You got to watch out with the candidates as celebrities, as influencers now. It's such a weird space. Kate Middleton, yeah.
I have long believed that Joe Biden is going to be our last career politician president. Fundamentally, what we have seen is people from both parties are running with shorter and shorter experience histories, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Barack Obama came from very little history, and a lot of that is because when you have a long history, there's a lot to discuss and less history, less to discuss, less to pin you down on. But the power of celebrity is so overwhelming in this country. It's so effective politically. It's shocking to me that they haven't totally overrun the political system so far, given what we've seen with Trump's success.
Honestly, like, I think that it would be more overrun if the attention they got were good and not brutal.
It is rough. I mean, Matthew McConaughey as the governor of Texas is something that I personally do look forward to, but it's not a happy clap for you kind of fame the way that celebrities are used to. You know, could Kim Kardashian win? Yeah, but she would get dragged all the time, and I don't know, they would like that. Yeah,
not even dragged. Like, the actual work is very challenging. Yeah. Like, you're choosing between bad options all the time. Kim Kardashian's running a private equity firm where she can do whatever she wants now. Why would she ever want to go to politics?
And to church.
Where you have to be elected.
Right. Well, I think, like, Chris runs the church.
Well, start your own cult then. So what we're here to teach you, though, is to start a cult. Don't run for office. Just start a micro cult.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Just let's close out the episode. But first, I think everyone should share their Kate Middleton theory because that only feels fair to the audience. Am I right?
Yeah.
Be you first.
Okay. Mine is that in true royal tradition, they are using the wife of William the way they used the mother of William to cover a bigger story about something actually important that's going on in England. Anytime anything bad was going on in the empire, they'd throw Diana out there in a beautiful dress, or they'd make up a lie or something crazy about her. They'd remind you about the paparazzi conspiracies about her. In lieu of Diana, I think that perhaps Kate Middleton may be the red herring in a sea of something actual interesting happening.
We'll find that out eventually. And that's a good thing. Emily, what do you think?
I think Kate Middleton has Crohn's disease and had surgery.
Okay. I feel that. I am on board with you. I think she had surgery. I don't know exactly what the surgery is, but I think it's a surgery she doesn't want to like speak about, and that might have had a complication or a tough recovery or a visually unappealing recovery, whatever it is. But I also think at the same time, they are dealing with internal issues that have colored the situation poorly and are simultaneous, but not causal. But it has now become all wrapped up into a giant mess. And there are definitely things that we're not aware of.
I mean, I think that they need to hire Chris Olsen to run their social media is the answer.
Molly McPherson. No, Molly McPherson right. is the PR goddess of TikTok.
That is who they should. That is who they should hire. You're right. You're right. All right. Well, this has been a fever dream of sorts.
It's been a fever dream, loves. This was our Across the Pond episode.
Yes. British news. Emily, where's your Substack? Where can people find it?
EmilyInYourPhone.substack.com or follow me on Instagram at EmilyInYourPhone. Also on TikTok, though it's not very good, at EmilyInYourPhone as well.
Right. And we also have a book coming out in July.
July 2nd.
Please pre-order our book.
It's called Democracy in Retrograde. We promise you will love it. It's all about how getting involved in politics and in your civic life of your community is important self-care, both for yourself and our country. And it's the solution to all the ills we face.
Yeah. And the best part is that there's a little bit of a personality quiz element to it, where we are going to help you discover through doing activities and quizzes and reading the book, obviously. We're going to help you identify a path to get yourself engaged with civic action that works for you, that makes sense with the time you have, what you're good at, what you like to do, what money you have at your disposal, and provides you with lots of different options for how to, you know, build a civic life and get more involved in your community, build stronger relationships so that we can have a stronger multicultural democracy.
And there is a Taylor Swift tie-in, most importantly.
All right, well, now I'm back in. I wasn't going to get it, but now I am.
We will have a copy for you ASAP, as soon as there is a copy for you to read.
Will it be an audiobook too or no?
We don't know yet. It is a mystery.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, you can pre-order it. Please pre-order indie books.
Bookstore.org.
You can't even... Bookshop.org.
Oh, yeah.
we just cannot even emphasize how much that would be helpful to us, pre-ordering from indiebookshop.org. All right. Thank you, guys.
And while you wait for that book to arrive, make sure that you rate the show, subscribe, and follow. It really does help us, and we appreciate you greatly. Until next time, I'm Vita Spear.
And I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is American Fever Dream.
American Fever Dream is hosted by Vitus Speer and Sammy Sage. The show is produced by Rebecca Sausmacat, Jorge Morales-Picot, and Rebecca Steinberg. Editing by Rebecca Sausmacat. Social media by Bridget Schwartz. And be sure to follow Betches News on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
Betches.